Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. The Reserve Bank of India has given the country's banking sector a hard deadline to get Windows XP out of its ATMs. After failing safety tests, dozens of carbon monoxide alarms sold via Amazon and eBay have been taken offline. Tesla plans to downsize its solar production. The company will cut 9% of its workforce, close more than a dozen installation facilities, and end its partnership with Home Depot. Pornographic images are appearing in Super Mario Odyssey. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yaman.
You're building a brand new beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're covering this week. The Reserve Bank of India has given the country's banking sector a hard deadline to get Windows XP out of its ATMs, June 2019. That's more than 5 years beyond the May 2014 end of support for the OS. In a notice to the nation's banks issued last June 21st, 2018, the Reserve Bank makes it clear that XP and other unsupported operating systems have been on its mind since at least April 2017 when it issued a circular outlining its concerns. In spite of previous advisories instructing banks to put migration plans in place, things have not moved fast enough for the RBI. The notice said the slow progress on the bank's part in addressing these issues has been viewed seriously by the RBI, adding that the vulnerability arising from the bank's ATMs operating on unsupported versions of operating systems and non-implementation of other security measures could potentially affect the interests of the bank's customers adversely. In other words, customer accounts could be affected in a negative way. A timetable presented to the bank says that they must reach 25% depreciation by September of this year, 50% by December, and 75% by March next year. The timetable also requires banks to implement anti-skimming technology and to use whitelisting on ATMs so that only approved software can run on them. Banks have been instructed to file their compliance plans by the end of July 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I like this.
You like this?
I like this.
The banks are running Windows XP, Jeff.
No, that's not what I like. I like the fact that they're saying,
let's get it done.
Get it together.
Yeah, come on. Smart.
Yes.
Up. Psh,
psh.
Like, you would think for banks to be that far behind with all of the issues that have come as a result of the unsupported XP and some of those things,
it makes
me wonder, like, did they bother doing those security updates on Intel chips on their computers to get rid of those issues?
Do they patch it on Windows XP?
Yeah, like, so I like this.
Is it a global problem when there's an ATM issue?
Well, I have to presume that this is not just an ATM issue. I mean, they must have other systems that are operating in their network. But the ATMs are fairly independent of the kind of global scale of things because they connect into their internal infrastructure and then that infrastructure takes care of things.
Right.
But think about what would happen if one of these systems got, say, a ransomware attack or some other form of attack was implemented.
That's true.
But you've also got the fact that the ATMs have a vulnerability because they are running such outdated software.
Oh, yeah.
And they are connected to your banking information.
So the personal information of the customers of the bank.
Right. Like, there's
not
enough.
But not me personally, because I'm here in Canada, so I'm okay from the Indian bank, I presume.
You would think, but if you have any offshore investments over there. Anything.
My offshore accounts, Jeff.
That's right.
They're doing very poorly.
They don't want the $5 in my account, but if somebody's got a big account...
Yeah. I'm safe from identity theft because I've looked at my bank statement.
That's right.
I'm wondering whether or not there's a better operating system they could switch to.
I wonder if... Any suggestions? Okay, first of all, here's the thing. What prevents a bank from upgrading all of their ATMs to an operating system that is supported?
Cost.
What prevents? Cost. They're
what
banks.
Makes it so? What makes it so?
They fast? Literally have all the money.
Yeah, it's still.
Yeah. But what do we have to do? No, but what are we going to do? Just install something else on them? No, these are proprietary bits of hardware,
right,
that have this built into the firmware. It's probably like some. I think of a Weiss terminal, like one of those little boxes that you just plug a monitor into, and it's not quite a computer, but it
right.
has XP on it.
I'm not buying it. They I'm were just warned saying, about this 2017.
If they are going to upgrade, I know. No, 2014, buddy.
2014.
2014 was EOL.
Yeah, no, I get that, but they said even in a circular memo from 2017. So a year ago, they were told,
"Sure,
get it together,
get it done."
Now they're not doing it, so now they're being compelled into a drop dead date.
But the cost to upgrade the software, now we have to take into account. We also have to replace all of right. the ATMs.
So it's going to be time and money. Right, both of those
Listen
things.
To this guy. He and with all also, your offshore accounts. Like, oh, it's okay. just cost
so it's
business.
it's time and money for the people who like own the banks that own the ATMs, mm-hmm. right? To implement a new operating system that will again eventually be unsupported. So they're just trying to drag
right.
it out. To
oh,
see
we're still talking about the Windows upgrade path.
Right, exactly.
Right. So back to your question.
My question is, could they not come up with an idea for an operating system that perhaps wouldn't be quite so prohibitive?
Would a Linux-based ATM network
right.
be a better answer?
I think the
Probably,
answer is yes.
But how much you want to bet there isn't software for it?
I will bet you all of the money in my offshore accounts.
Okay.
Since you asked.
But to have, yeah, so my guess is there probably is not a commercial version of banking software that is purely Linux based.
Right.
I doubt that as a fact. There must be. I don't know because I don't work for banks and I don't do that kind of thing, but there must be Linux-based
what you'd think.
ATM software.
But
there must be.
I mean, how many versions could you... I mean, like, I between work and all that kind of stuff, I'm involved with many different banks. They, other than the graphics, they all run exactly the same way.
Yeah.
I'm sure maybe there is, but look at that. Why don't banks use Linux to run their ATMs?
So
somebody actually wrote
somebody
an article.
Asked, I mean, the first thing on
yeah. What is that from? That is doesn't.
Why don't
2017?
They? We haven't pre-read this article, so I don't even know what it gets into. But
I really honestly think that the next story should be that the banks in India are switching to Linux operating system ATMs. I think that would be their strategic move.
Says banks in India and Brazil have started to move their ATM systems to special versions of Linux.
Fantastic. That's
they
what they need to do.
Yes.
When I think of India, and I'm not, this is not stereotyping or anything like that. This is just, it's a fact that there is a lot of software piracy in India.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so when I think of the cost of implementing like a Windows 10 embedded environment or something, I just it doesn't seem as there's not as much motivation to
right.
do that as there would be for something like Linux, where
right.
I can get a piece of hardware that I can put free or economical software, because I imagine it's probably got some proprietary aspects
right.
Into my ATMs, and then upgrade and keep upgrading, because unlike Windows Embedded, I can upgrade the software and not necessarily have to replace the hardware every time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Interesting.
Hard to know the answer to that. Are ATMs using Linux where you're from? I'm sure that it's possible.
Maybe.
And that proves it, because if banks in India and Brazil are starting to transition to, then it must exist.
Well, then there's you just saved all of your offshore bank money because you didn't have to hand it over. You won the bet.
Wonderful. Did I win all yours?
No, I don't have one.
Oh, darn. That's kind of my point as well. Yeah,
fair enough.
This here is a scary story.
Uh-oh.
Dozens of carbon monoxide alarms sold via Amazon and eBay have been taken offline after failing safety tests.
Oh, no.
Consumer watchdog Which said some of the alarms seemed identical to the ones that had failed tests in 2016. Three of the unbranded devices made in China repeatedly failed to sound when carbon monoxide was present. The watchdog said that there are flaws in the current product testing system. It advised anyone owning one of the alarms to replace it immediately. Consumers should contact the company that they bought it from and request a refund, it said. Most of the devices are unbranded with no model number, but all resemble the picture shown. Alex Neal, the managing director of home products and services at Which, said, "It's extremely concerning that these unsafe alarms were being sold by major retailers. When household names such as Amazon and eBay are selling products that could put consumers at risk, it's clear that more must be done by businesses and the government to proactively identify potentially dangerous products and stop them from entering people's homes. Amazon says all sellers must follow our selling guidelines, and those who don't will be subject to action, including potential removal of their account. The products in question are no longer available."
Well, that's something.
So, what's sad is that there are people out there with carbon monoxide detectors that they just trust, right?
And how do you test a carbon monoxide detector? Now, a smoke alarm, obviously, you can swipe a match and let it off.
Right.
What are you going to do with carbon monoxide?
Exactly. You can't really.
Pretty sure
test
they have
it.
A test button.
Yeah, right, but if it's faulty?
The test button just makes a noise when you press the test button, but does it make a noise when there's carbon monoxide present?
That's the thing.
You can make something that just makes a noise.
Oh, yeah, the button works.
Yeah, exactly. So
is it your car that produces carbon monoxide?
Yeah,
so you're saying hot box your house with the exhaust from your car.
No,
or
you run your carbon monoxide detector off an extension cord and put it at the back of your car.
Right.
Suppose you could try that.
Like,
There you go.
Simple ideas, my friend.
Make a cardboard box type unit.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a problem with people blaming Amazon and eBay.
Yes.
In the fact that it's not their fault.
Sure.
They can't stand behind every single product that you can buy on Amazon. They can't. They're Amazon. They're the, I don't know how to say it, but they're just the spot. You buy the
Here's the thing about Amazon, eBay. Now, eBay is more like a marketplace of garage sales.
Right.
Like,
right.
So
used to
Amazon. Now, they're changing, of course. But Amazon, we look at it as a store. We look at it as an online big box store.
Right.
Now, what we need to do is we need to realize as consumers that is not at all the business model of Amazon.
Right.
The business model of Amazon is if Jeff has a product that Jeff wants to sell, he can ship it to Amazon's warehouse and put it on Amazon's website, and they will sell it for him, and he will make a profit.
Right. Amazon's like the mall. There's stores in the mall. Right.
Kiosks in the mall.
Right.
Yeah. Would be a good like the mall. And
the
anyone
mall,
can go in. Sure.
Anybody can go into the mall. Mm-hmm. Anybody can sell their wares from the mall.
Yep,
it's not the mall's fault that the carbon monoxide detector doesn't work. It's
for sure.
The fault of the vendor themselves.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Or the manufacturer themselves. There's so many
partly the consumer.
There's yes. Well,
we went to the local Comic-Con, and at the Comic-Con they were selling a lot of made in China goods that were obviously off brand, and probably, you know, you hear about things like the hoverboards that explode the batteries and things.
Right. Yes.
And those kinds of things. Well, we know that those are off brand and don't buy those ones because they probably have that issue.
Right.
Now they had products that had that looks like it maybe contains lead.
Maybe.
Right.
I'm concerned about that. So let's not go there. So
right.
As a consumer, I need to look at Amazon as that marketplace where I need to be a little cautious, a little leery. I need to be careful also for counterfeit goods.
Oh, yeah.
We love the SJ Cam.
Yes.
And if you follow our links through our online store, cat5.tv/actioncam, you're going to get the proper product. Now, there are a lot of vendors who have brought out knockoffs because SJ Cam didn't patent the design.
Right.
So there are a lot of knockoffs of this product. Now, if you get that knockoff, it may work okay. It's not going to be an SJ Cam. But
right.
I use that as an example that's not a safety issue, but what if it's a fire alarm? What if
sure.
it's a carbon monoxide
exactly.
detector? And it looks like a legit carbon monoxide detector. Now, I, as a consumer, can be cautious of that and realize, hey, there's something off about this, or at least when I get it in my hands, there's definitely something off about this.
Mm-hmm.
But what if I'm that person who is renting an apartment and my landlord is a stingy landlord?
And they
bought the cheapest one off of Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I feel safe? How can I be safe?
Right, exactly. I mean, people will take the path of least resistance. If it's less money, they're going to order it, right?
In a lot of cases.
So there needs to be a regulation, not on Amazon, but somehow on like the person themselves. Like you'll have to buy a carbon monoxide tester that's like FDA approved or whatever it would be. Like
that's a sticker,
maybe.
You know?
Yeah.
I could print a sticker at a print shop.
Right.
That's
throw it on
too. Oh, you can't win.
No, like here's the reality of the situation. We live in a world that, just like the rise of fake news, because we live in a social media world where everything has to come out like that, and if you don't hop on that piece of information, you're not the first news outlet to get it out there.
Mm.
So that's why we have all this fake news that's
uh-huh.
ending up there. It's the same deal with mass consumer products. We have so many changing products that are coming out that people are like, I've got to get this on my store. I'm going to sell it because it's the most amazing product. People are going to buy it up. I want to be the first one out there. Going back to the beginning of April 2017, you look at the fidget spinner craze.
Yeah.
How many fidget spinners all of a sudden showed up in different kinds and different models? And I mean,
and
there
then all of a sudden we
right.
learned that a lot of them had lead.
Well, yeah, exactly. There wasn't any one
yeah.
patent. So people just, hey, I'm going to make my own fidget spinner mm-hmm. and market it. And that's the way things are. And so you've got companies like Amazon. You've got companies like eBay. You've got companies all over the place that are saying, I'm going to take this product because somebody's coming to me. They're going to sell it to me for super cheap. And then I'm going to turn around and sell it for super cheap, drive traffic to my website. It's all about supply and demand. And as a human race, we want more. We want it cheaper. We want it faster. And so we are predicating a market that is going to be unsafe because we don't take the time to really research. We want it now. I blame us.
So let's make a choice to select very carefully those safety items.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
We heard about, and not to milk this thing like crazy, but we heard about people buying knockoff, unsafe solar eclipse glasses.
Yes!
As well.
Yes!
This is a safety item. So when we hear these kinds of things, maybe with safety items, we just need to be a little smarter and say, you know what, I'm not going to cheap out on that. This is a safety thing.
Exactly.
I don't want carbon monoxide to take out my family. I'm going to go
yeah.
to the store and buy a proper... approved device.
Really the consumer's responsibility to do the very best they can.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And at the end of the day, yeah. I think the big issue is we don't have proper regulations for international sales. We have domestic regulations, but when it comes to buying stuff overseas or from another country, you don't have the proper international regulations to say if you're going to sell this in our country, or even if you're going to sell it from your country for it to come into our country, needs to meet these specifications. We have that on some things like produce, but we don't have it on a lot of the safety mm-hmm. devices that
mm-hmm.
we should have in our homes. If we had regulations like that on a global level, this kind of stuff wouldn't happen, because
you call the people.
All of my people
make
call their
happen.
People. We'll do it.
Make
on
it happen,
bank.
Jeff. Make it happen, Jeff.
Yeah. And then put it on the blockchain.
At least my advice, you can do something about.
There.
Well,
I agree.
Just as those solar eclipse glasses,
yes.
you know, were great for solar reasons, Tesla makes solar panels.
Ooh, nice segue there, Sash.
And Tesla plans to downsize its solar production. The company will cut 9% of its workforce, close more than a dozen installation facilities, and end its partnership with the Home Depot. The Home Depot deal accounted for about 50% of Tesla's solar sales. The staff reduction raises questions on whether Tesla has a plan for its solar power division. The company says it expects solar and car battery production to remain on schedule. In total, it looks looks like about 60 installation facilities will remain open, and Tesla has said that these cuts are part of a broader workforce reduction, which is expected to reduce the company's staff by about 4,100 people across the board. There has been little in the way of good news lately for Tesla or those who depend on the company for making a living. Last month, Elon Musk ordered a review of the company's contract workforce, which led to the majority of contractors being terminated unless they could find a Tesla employee willing to vouch for them. This recent round of cuts, which will affect both Tesla's solar and car divisions, shows that not even a company employees are safe. While we do not know the exact reasoning behind Tesla's decision to cut its workforce, it may have something to do with the delays plaguing the Model 3. The company is currently trying to produce 5,000 units of the electric car per week, but has been falling short of that number thanks to a combination of factors ranging from mismanagement, contractors, and over-reliance on robots. There are rumors that the company will have to go to Wall Street for a loan, but it would appear that Musk is trying to avoid that route, which may partially explain why the company is reducing its workforce. So I honestly think that cutting solar panel production is a sad way to solve the problem, because I really see that, especially because it was Tesla that was doing the shingles, the solar shingles. Yep. Yeah. And I can imagine that actually really working to help the Earth. Like, I just...
And Mars.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Mars impacted.
He's not cutting it, though, because he doesn't agree with solar panels or renewable energy. He's cutting it because there's inefficiencies.
Right.
And I hate using that word inefficiencies, because it's such a generic, you know, safe sounding word that basically means we need to cut. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, he is a major business mogul that needs to cut costs. And 9% is, albeit unfortunate, but not catastrophic to that division.
Right.
If it was, hey, we're cutting 25%, hey, we're cutting, you know, even 20%, that would be enough to say, that's a major blow. But to cut 9%, you can still get by. So I don't think, I think it's more so cost saving than it is, you know, changing the production levels. And I'm sure there will be some production level drop on it. But the thing with this is they have... Tesla and the company and Musk have sunk so much money into other things like SpaceX.
That's my thinking. Right. Like, don't touch Mars.
Exactly. Yeah. And I agree with you. And I think at the end of the day, you're going to see that the shift is going to move towards that direction. And that part of the company, like the solar panels, will get sold off. And I could be wrong, but I think Tesla bought the solar panel company from somebody else.
Yes.
So they've just acquired it, so now sell it off to somebody else, get the money for it, because you can say, hey, it's our Tesla solar panels, and people be like, oh, it's Tesla. But then put all your money into, you know, this space force that's been talked about by the U.S. government.
I really want a future where I can have solar panel shingles. I want that. I also want a Model 3.
It's now.
So, well, I need to get into my offshore accounts and make it happen.
Here's a sad one.
I know. This one's going to be tough. Pornographic images have begun appearing in Super Mario Odyssey. As far as Mario games go, Nintendo hit it out of the park again with Super Mario Odyssey. Having captured the essence of the game perfectly, it is perhaps one of the most fun and accessible games currently out there, or at the very least on the Nintendo Switch. It seems, however, that some naughty material has been turning up in the game. Hackers have found a way to get pornography to appear in the game. They've reportedly found a way to infiltrate the profile avatar system. With it, they have begun uploading adult images. The issue is all based on the mini games offered within Mario Odyssey, showing other players' scores and, of course, their avatar with it. Nintendo has advised that while they work on a fix for the problem, any young children should only play the game offline. By doing this, they won't be able to view any of the online scores submitting, and as such, will avoid the offensive material. The minigame which has the most specifically been affected by this is Luigi's Balloon World, which was part of the free update added earlier this year. The software used to exploit the issue can only be installed on cracked Nintendo Switches. It's believed that this might only be the tip of the iceberg as to what hackers could be capable of.
This is unfortunate.
I can't even express in words how brokenhearted I am about this, because this victimizes so many people on so many levels.
Like the kids. The kids, obviously, but as a parent.
Yeah.
And Jeff, you probably feel the same way. Like, we have such a responsibility to protect our children.
Right.
And at such a young age that are sitting and playing Mario Odyssey. Come on.
It's just, I can't even, like, you can crack a Nintendo Switch and you can do such great things
with
it.
Yeah, we talked about some of the great things
right.
we can do.
You can do amazing things with it. Why would you go to that place? Why would you really shake the core of the goodness of people?
Because somebody just wants to be an idiot. Like, at the end, this fires me up.
It's worse than idiot. That is, like, maliciously
harming. I know, but it's family-friendly TV.
I know.
Yeah, I'm holding my tongue here.
I am trying not to cry, because this is not what kids need to see. When they finally are excited that they get to play on their Switch, mm-hmm. and they're playing Mario Odyssey, and it's a fun game. I've played it. It's easy to play for kids. Right? And now, I mean, restricting them to offline play, that's okay in that they can still enjoy it. But it's just that there's that dark force out there, and I don't...
It's one thing if, you know, and I don't mean one thing like it's acceptable, but it's one thing if you're gonna hack the system and put on adware or steal data as far as usage statistics. It's another thing to take something like a pornographic image that, at the end of the day, serves no purpose for this game.
The image itself was probably taken in a victimization sort of situation, so
quite
there's
possibly.
Even more.
It's so wrong.
It's just, yeah.
I wish that the hacker who did this was listening. Because I feel like you need to reevaluate what you're doing. Like, I'm an ethical hacker in a lot of ways, and I do a lot of things where I work around using exploits, and I figure ways around things that are meant to stop me from being able to do certain things with systems. And let's use it for good, people.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Use those talents for good.
You could have really uploaded pictures to those avatar pictures of, like, funny, you know, like Daffy Duck and, you know, Mickey Mouse. Something just to show that you could do it. But you don't have to be disgusting about it.
So what can we do? As parents, okay, put your Nintendo Switches offline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you need to know that this is a problem, that this is something that's happening right now, and that you need to maybe be in the room with your kids and be ready. Like when your kids are watching cable TV, you got to be ready to, you know, guide them and show them that, hey, you know, let's block that or turn that off or whatever.
Exactly. I mean, for web browsers, you can have adult content filters.
Not so much on a Nintendo Switch on Mario Odyssey.
Like, have we got to that point? I mean, I'm listening to the story and I'm thinking, you know what? How much you want to bet that the person who did this is actually some teenager who wanted to see, oh, what can I do with some cracked software?
It's quite possible. Well, I mean, we're speculating now, but...
Yeah, I would like to hope that all of the adults out there would be respectable enough to not do something like this, and it was just some ill-advised teenager who thought that they were being funny and it went awry.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's all it is. I mean, I want to protect my kids and keep their innocence as much as possible for as long as possible. And even at the age of 11, our oldest, I'm finding it's becoming difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like this just makes me go, really, humanity?
Don't let me down like that.
Exactly. Come on, don't ruin a really great game.
I'm sure it was none of you that did it.
Yes.
So sorry for
coming down
on you. but let's be careful out there. I mean, this is a sad thing for sure. For sure.
It's true. Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman.